Just a quick thanks to the church this week and those who have provided meals and for prayers and support for Shells. It's been a difficult week. It's going to be a long 6 months, but we're thankful for our church family, and we're obviously thankful for our Lord and Father in heaven who loves and cares for us. So thanks. I'm going to pray as we look at this this passage this morning. Let me pray. Gracious Father, help us to be still now before you and know that you're God. That you're a God of mercy. That you're a God of love. That you're a God of grace. And Father, that you speak to us through your word, and your word is good. And so, Father, as we hear your voice here this morning, help us not to recoil from it, but Lord, walk in the light of your word that is good for us. And Father, lead us to repentance and trust in your Lord Jesus. And may we live lives worthy of his calling, who died and was raised from the dead, so that we may have freedom, freedom from sin and death. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is often said that the game of golf is a good walk ruined. Walking is a persistent movement in a particular direction. So in the game of golf, you walk from tee to green, hitting that little white ball into a hole, a persistent movement towards a hole. Well, that's the idea. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Unfortunately, this persistent walk in one direction is often, well, when I play, interrupted by wayward strokes. It's either a slice or a hook. You end up underneath a tree. There's a few golfers smiling at me now. You could end up in the water, or I could always find water on a hole, wherever I play, maybe a bunker. And at times, anywhere but towards the hole. I often need to make corrections along the way towards the hole. You can even end up getting a bug in your ear that would send anyone off course. Small joke. But eventually you do make it to a hole. Golf isn't that complicated a game, is it? Well, I think golf is a little like the Christian life. Now, the Christian life is often described as the Christian walk, our spiritual walk with God, a persistent movement towards God in relationship with him. The Christian life, as we heard last week, is the life that was with the Father from the beginning that has appeared. The word of life, where true life is found, and that is in Jesus, as we know. This life is walking in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and with fellowship with each other. As we share life together as brothers and sisters in Christ, declared by God to be his children. That's the Christian life. And the Christian life is a persistent walk towards God in fellowship. Yet our Christian life, our Christian walk, is often interrupted by wayward strokes along the way, isn't it? Our Christian walk with God is interrupted by our sin. Our sin, our rebellion against God, the things that we ought not to do and the things we ought to do that we don't do, that leads us away from him. It breaks our fellowship with God. Now, a Christian walk is not about being perfect, as no golfer is perfect. We will wrestle with our sin, sinful flesh, all the days of our lives. And in our passage today, John will challenge us about what we do when we do sin. How do we respond? Well, we often deny it, don't we? We rationalise it. We compare ourselves to others. We love to redefine it. It's not that bad. And often we don't take sin take seriously the reality and the consequences of our sin. We claim to walk with God, then defy his will. And as we do that, we break fellowship with him. Now, we need to be very careful here. When we sin, and we all do, our sonship, the fact that we are in the family of God, is not changed. No more than when our children disobey us, that we don't kick them out of our family, do we? Our salvation, that's secure in Christ. We're saved, we've been saved, we will be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus.
but it damages our fellowship with God. See, sin grieves God. It puts a barrier up between us and God in terms of our fellowship with Him, our sharing of life with Him, our walk in life. Well, then if we do that, our life will be a life of frustration and slavery rather than freedom that we have when we walk with Christ. Living the good life that God has revealed to us in His Word, that Word that became flesh. Our sin matters to God if it demanded the price of the blood of God's only Son, the Word of life who died for the forgiveness of your sins and mine. So today we're going to take a stock take of our walk with God. We're going to have a bit of a check-up of how our heart is. Our desire here is to people who have a heart for Jesus. A heart for Jesus. As we read in the passage, if we claim to live and walk in Him and have fellowship, we must walk as Jesus did, in obedience, in trust and in love. As we heard this morning, as we think about Mission 2020, as we point people to true life in Jesus, we can come up with great ideas of how sharing that life in Jesus, but are we living it? Are we living that life that we're going to call people to? Now, I've taken two people to hospital this week, and the first thing they do, they put the little heart monitor on your finger, right, to see how your heart is, to see whether it's beating okay. To see where we are, this wayward walk with God, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to check out how our heart is. We're going to check to see where we are breaking fellowship with God in our lives so we can restore it. That's why John writes. He doesn't leave us in dark. He doesn't leave us in a sin. He writes so we are restored back into the fellowship and enjoy God forever. That's God's desire for us. Now, you'll notice in our passage, as Grant read to us, it's pretty black and white. This is a pretty black and white sermon. We're just going to work through this passage. But I want to be honest. I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. As we talk about sin, what's your first reaction? Oh, I've heard it before. Not another sermon on sin. What's your first reaction? Well, let me put it this way. I heard this good illustration about the Christian life this week. Here it goes. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You're struggling. I'm struggling. But I know where the good stuff is. It's not a bad illustration, is it? But there's two ways that we can respond to that statement. I'm glad bread exists. I need it and I'm hungry. Or are you calling me a beggar? If you respond the first way, our passage has good news for you. If you respond the second way, this passage is going to be a real challenge for you. Look at verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. What am I really like? What is my heart really like? Now, I'm not asking what we are like compared to others. Say, compared to Donald Trump, well, that's just too easy, isn't it? He's on the news every day and we don't want to be like him. What am I compared to Jesus? That's a serious heart check. That's our measure. What am I truly like compared to the Lord Jesus? Now, that can be a scary thing to do, can't it? For it may mean we have to admit to certain deep things about ourselves, stop ignoring some of the demands on our lives as His children. Feel like you want to rip the heart monitor off and leave His Word on the shelf. That's how I felt reading this passage this week. It's a hard passage, but there's great hope in it. Well, what's our first response to the claim that we are sinful? Is it self-denial? Is it self-defense? Are you calling me a beggar? Well, yes, I am. Actually, no, I am. John is. Let's have a look. We may be all right. I'm not as bad as Trump, or we might point the finger at others and justify the things we do in our lives, when really, at times, we all face hopelessness. Our lives are messy. You know, we have relationships breakdowns, frustrations at work. We struggle with a tongue, a wayward eye. Okay, let's call that for what it is. It's lust. My sin is not as bad as someone. That might be true, but all sin is wrong because only against you, God, have I sinned. And that's all of us. Surely we wouldn't say that we are without sin. We are sinful by nature. We have a bent towards sin, don't we? Well, 1 John shows how the gospel, the good news of Jesus, will give us freedom to say at times, my life is a mess. And yet the joy of being forgiven and the challenge to say that I can walk, I can live as Jesus lives. As a beggar, there is bread. There's the end of the illustration. But it starts with God. Look at verse 5. Let's work through this passage. It's very black and white. Verse 5. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. See, John starts with what God is like. He doesn't start with us. If we start with us, we'll just lead to self-defense, won't we? My heart is a little bit better than others. No, he starts with God. And God is light with no darkness. Well, thanks, John, for that clarification. God is light. There's no darkness. What is God like? God is pure. And purity is like light in that it penetrates. That's what light does. And God has a penetrating holiness. There's no darkness, no moral imperfection, no falsehood in God. He's holy, pure, wonderful, scary. God is light. He penetrates into every corner of our hearts. He penetrates into every corner of our life. He sees it all. It's what light does. It penetrates. It sees everything. That's what C.S. Lewis said. That we believe the sun rises not because we see it, but because by it we see everything. We start with God. God is light. He sees everything. We have the right heart monitor. We've got the right place to start. If you remember in Isaiah gets taken to the temple, and in the temple he has a vision. He sees the glory of the Lord filling the temple, and he compares himself not to others around, but to God. And what does he say? Woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips. We'll only have the right spiritual heart check if we start with God. For our measure in life is God, his character, his will, his purpose. God is light, and every bit of darkness, every sin in our life is exposed by his goodness, by his purity, by his holiness. That's our measure, and it's pointless to claim we're without sin. So as we work through this, let me point out a few responses to this penetrating light of God. We start with God, that he's pure, there's no darkness in him. So how do we respond? Look at verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. Well, what is John saying? If you make the claim, I'm okay with God, yet walk in darkness, you do that, you're fooling yourself. That's foolish. You're a liar. It's a strong statement, isn't it? John, black and white again. There's no wriggle room here for John. You know, walk in darkness is not to really care about the things God has actually living opposed to him. You know, if you're in a cave, and I was caving as a venturer, if you're in a cave, you turn the lights out, you'll never adjust to the darkness. You won't be able to see a thing. You can't even see the hand in front of your face. You'll stumble around in absolute hopelessness. So if you claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, that is to be a believer in theory and a non-believer in practice, that is to not really care about what God thinks of his or the demands in your life, that's hopeless. It's walking around in darkness. You'll stumble. And John makes a nonsense of this possibility that we can imagine to live some sort of compromise existence where we have one foot in the light and one foot in darkness. It's like having one foot in a boat and one foot in the dock. It's not going to end well, is it? The spiritual splits are equally impossible, aren't they? One foot in light, one foot in darkness. Christian in theory? A Christian in theory only? We are fooling ourselves. But look at the contrast. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus the Son purifies us from all sin. In contrast, to walk in the light is to continually ask God, what does God desire of my life? When was the last time you did that? God, what do you want for my life? How do you desire me to live? Well, you know we're called to love him and to love others. Not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and so on. But notice it's not about being perfect. It's who you're walking with each day that matters. And how do we walk in the light? Well, Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. See, God has not left us in darkness. He has brought us into his marvellous light, the word that became flesh, the word, the sword of the Spirit that cuts deep into our hearts. And we're going to walk in the light. We walk in through reading his word. That's where we find how to live a good life. That's how we find out how to live in response to a holy God who is pure, who is light. If you walk in the light, if you do something wrong, the blood of Jesus purifies you. Again in verse 7. He washes us clean. So that is good news, isn't it? So why walk in darkness? If Jesus washes our clean and purifies us, why would you continue in darkness? Well, again, verse 8, classic John again, is very black and white. Look at verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So simply, if we claim to be without sin, it's dangerous to do that. We deceive ourselves. That is to think that we don't sin. The truth that we do and his will is not controlling our thinking and living. If we think we're without sin, well then God has no place in our life. We deceive ourselves. And this is where we need to take a seriously heart check. You know, those heart monitors, as I said, they take your blood pressure. If it's at 180, you have a problem. Any doctors out there? Is that right? If you've got 180, that's a real problem. That's good. Worst problem is you say, I'll be okay, and you walk out of there. That's a real problem. Because you probably won't walk back in. No, you need to fix it. You need to rectify. You need help. We need a sober assessment of ourselves, not to deceive ourselves. Now, I know we're walking in the light here. I know you might be trusting God and responding to God's love. You might be taking your sin seriously. If we're doing that, we still need to make this heart check real in our lives. As one writer pointed out here, it's really helpful. The Christian life is not always about saying, I've done the right thing. It's actually to say that I've done the wrong things. It's easy for us to say we've done the right things. I've been to church, tick. I've prayed, tick. I've loved someone, tick. What about the wrong things? That's hard to say, isn't it? But you know your heart. You know your life. Where are you deceiving yourself? Remember, God is light. He sees everything. Your heart, my heart, is not always healthy. It's messy at times. The sober assessment, it needs to be a daily assessment. Not just the things we do, but the things that we don't do that we ought to do. So to claim to act as though we're not guilty before God is self-deception. But that's not bad news, because there's good news. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is good news. This is our hope. This is our promise to God. So why stay in darkness? He is light. He is purity. He cleanses us from unrighteousness, from darkness, from self-deception. Friends, confession is the key to be a Christian, to be spiritually healthy. I've made a mess of a life. I'm going to tell God about it. Well, he knows about it anyway. But I'm going to tell him first. It always starts with God. We can be honest about it. Confess our sins to God, freely trust in his character, that he's faithful and just to his promises. You remember our series this year as we looked at David in Psalm 51. You know, as David's sin is brought to light by Nathan the prophet, his response, he confesses, "Only against you, God, have I sinned." Do the wrong thing, acknowledge it. Let me share this story. A parishioner under conviction about the sin of gossip responds to a public altar call to confess their sins. I'm not going to be doing that. This is just a story. The preacher received them. They said, "I want to lay my tongue on the altar." The preacher responded, "The altar is only 16 feet long, but lay it on." Well, I'm not sure about the pastoral sensitivity of the preacher, but they had the right idea. Barbara might need to have to confess about that piece of timber to customs. But friends, it's specific confession of our sin before God, who is light, who sees everything. That's the good news, that we can confess everything to him. For he's faithful and just and forgives our sins past, present and future. You know, our sin is not a surprise to God. That's why Jesus died. So why try and keep it to ourselves? To a God who sees everything. It's got to be real. It takes courage to say to God, "My heart is not right." It takes courage to examine our actions, our motives, our thoughts. What did you do and why did you do it? Then share your sin. Feel the weight of your sin at the foot of the cross. That's what Christ died for. For all sin is offence towards our God. It breaks our fellowship with him. Confess our sin. Stare at it. Own it. We can do that because forgiveness is coming. Actually, forgiveness has already come. And this is the key to walk in the light, to walk the Christian life. When we're wayward, to confess our sins and be washed clean by the blood of Jesus who purifies us. We're up to verse 10. Verse 10 is simply, I think, a summary of verses 6 to 10. If we lie about our sin, we make God out to be a liar. How do we make God out to lie? Well, he declared that we're all sin and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3. So if you're saying you don't sin, well then, God's word's not true. Better you to do that than me. More than that, the word is not in us. This means the word has no effect on our belief and conduct. To say that word is not in us, it's not having any hold in our life. It has no place in our life. We're not obeying it. Not listening to it, not trusting it, not doing as it says. Start with God, for he is light, pure, penetrating holiness through his word. So two responses so far. To God is light. Self-deception? That's no good, is it? and confession. At our conversion, we choose confession and we continue to walk in confession as we walk in the light.
Okay, so today I don't want you to just walk out of here thinking, yep, another sermon, I'm here, I'm a sinner, I need to confess. God forgives me, that is all true.
Let's not just tick another box. Let's not wait till New Year's Eve to make a resolution. Let's leave here with a resolve to walk in the light each day. To resolve that we'll walk as Christians in theory and in practice. Look at 2 verse 1, chapter 2 verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you that so that you will not sin. John writes so you won't feel okay about sin, so you won't sin. That's what grace enables us to do.
I got some friends who visited base camp at Mount Everest, but they weren't planning to climb the mountain. It was all too hard. See, John writes these things to us so we won't sin. We'll get to base camp and we'll start climbing. We won't sin.
How do we resolve to do that? How is that possible? Well, it's the work of Jesus.
It's actually about his resolve for us.
Chapter 2, verse 1 again. My dear children, I write this to you that, so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Not if I sin, but when I do, we have someone who speaks on our behalf to the Father. Jesus will defend you to his Father, whom we have sonship with. You know, our hearts are messy to the light of God. Jesus steps in and speaks on our defence. And there goes our need for self-deception, doesn't it? We have one who's defending us with the Father. Jesus saying to the Father, I died for this one. I died for you. He died for me. That's what Jesus is doing before the Father. I died for them. That's a wow moment, isn't it? With Jesus pleading to the Father on our behalf, he's our advocate.
And Jesus resolved not just to speak to the Father, but did something about it. Verse 2, he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. What is Jesus doing on the cross at the hands of sinners? You and me?
He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He fights for my defence, for your defence by dying.
Very black and white, isn't it, for John?
Jesus is the one who takes my sin and he takes my punishment. More than that, he takes the anger of God, the anger of God towards my sin, and he buries it. Now, Jesus speaks in our defence, for he was raised from the dead so we can walk in freedom from sin and death. There's the black and white nature of the gospel, isn't it? It's wonderful. We need to keep hearing the gospel. So we can be honest about our sins. Let the light of God examine our hearts through his word. If you are not reading his word, you are not walking in the light, but darkness. And you won't have a healthy heart. Finally, verses 3 to 5. What is a Christian walk? How do I walk with Jesus? We are not Jesus. It's not about being perfect, but about obeying God's command, enjoying God's love completed in you. The love that he's lavished upon you, of sonship and fellowship with the Father and the Son. What is a Christian life? What is a Christian walk? Start with God walking in the light, confession, and trusting that Jesus washes you clean. So, how's your heart this morning? comes back to us. We start with God, we finish with God, but how's your heart? Why don't we just take a moment? Be honest with ourselves this morning. Are we living the life that God has called us to live? Why don't we spend some time, moment reflecting, and then I'll pray for us. Let his word, the light of God, penetrate your heart. Be honest. Come before him in confession. And know that Jesus has washed us clean. God, you are light. There is no darkness in you. Father, by your Spirit, as you've just searched our hearts, Father, as we now confess those things to you, the things we do and the things we ought to do that we don't do, Lord, we know that our sin grieves you. Father, forgive us and restore us to fellowship with you through your Son. Father, help us to, as we respond to the gospel, the good news of Jesus, as we've heard so clearly this morning, black and white from John, that we'll have a daily assessment of our life. Am I living as you call us to live? Am I walking as Jesus walked, in obedience, in love? Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love to us in the Lord Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.